Herbert Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. On this day, 2019, Roky Erickson died at the age of 71 years old, co-founded this band, the 13th Floor Elevators, in 1965. He had some health issues, diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia in 1968, sent to a psychiatric hospital, and was rehabilitated and continued to make music, play music for most of his life. You're going to miss me from the 13th Floor Elevators. Roky Erickson died on this day back in 2019. Scott Bertram in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. News breaking this morning via Axios.com. Chris Christie will officially announce his presidential campaign next week. As I just talked about with Ron DeSantis, we don't know everyone in the race. We don't know what a fractured field and a large field would mean. And so trying to predict things and votes 8 months from now is kind of a fool's errand, especially looking at polling at this point, I don't think is all that important. But Chris Christie says he's in. He'll announce next Tuesday in New Hampshire. Christie, 60 years old, former close Trump ally who now calls the former president a coward and puppet of Putin. Chris Christie will make the announcement next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. His slogan will be, "Telling it like it is." His team tells Axios, here's what to expect. Being joyful, hitting a more hopeful note aimed at America's exhausted majority. Being authentic, a happy warrior who speaks his mind, takes risks, is happy to punch Donald Trump in the nose, metaphorically speaking, I'm sure. Running a national race, a non-traditional campaign, highly focused on earned media, mixing it up in the news cycle, and engaging Trump. And there you go. Officials, the Super PAC officials are here, but you don't know any of them. And Anthony Scaramucci is a supporter, so he's got that going for him. Chris Christie entering the presidential race beginning on Tuesday, next Tuesday in New Hampshire, so reports Axios.com this morning. All right, this debt limit deal, we spent a good portion of the show yesterday telling you what's in it and breaking down the consequences of some of the spending caps and what was not there. And people like it, and some people don't like it, and there's debate. Of course, the Rules Committee advanced last night, so there will be a vote on the floor of the House today. How about a pro, a con? Let's hear what people think. Newt Gingrich, on with Sean Hannity on Fox News, says, hey, it's not perfect. It's a decent start. Here's Newt Gingrich, cut one.
Well, look, I think it's pretty straightforward. If you look at where we were going, which was the Biden position of no amendments of any kind, no negotiations, just keep raising the debt ceiling, keep go business as usual. And you look where over 100 days, the House Republicans, who shocked the country by actually passing a bill that had real change, real reform, real cuts. And the truth is, we are not nearly as well off as we'd like to be because we didn't have a Republican president to negotiate with, but we're dramatically better off than we would have been if we just rolled over for Joe Biden. So the question, I think, for Republicans, and probably where Congressman Bishop and I have the deepest disagreement, is the consequence of a no vote. I believe, having done this, as you know, in my new book, A March to the Majority, where I explain how we spent 4 years negotiating with Bill Clinton, getting to the only 4 years of a balanced budget in your lifetime. We did it one step at a time. Well, this is the first step. Now, Republicans can decide it's a pretty reasonable first step, not everything they want, but it starts the game towards the balanced budget, towards appropriations this fall. Remember, what McCarthy did was establish a ceiling, not a basement.
A ceiling, not a basement for how low spending in the future might go. That's how Newt Gingrich, the former speaker, outlines the debt limit deal. For an opposing point of view, and we ran down some of his objections yesterday on the program, Chip Roy, the congressman from Texas, part of the Freedom Caucus, Chip Roy with a press conference savaging the bill. Here is Chip Roy, cut one.
I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. Yes. Not one. If you're out there watching this, every one of my colleagues, be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. It is a bad deal. No one sent us here to borrow an additional $4 trillion to get absolutely nothing in return. But at best, if I'm being really generous, a spending freeze for a couple of years. That's it. That's about what you get. And frankly, you're going to make things worse. And my Democratic colleagues know it. That's why they're supporting it. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going around gleeful. Look, there's a reason our Democrat colleagues support this. There's a reason that Mitt Romney supports this. There's a reason that Bill Kristol supports this. It's all the same stuff.
Chip Roy, congressman from Texas, he's not a fan, as you might gather from those comments. Not one Republican should support the bill, he says. They will. It's likely to get, I mean, look, from a strategic point of view, but from a realistic point of view, going to get some no votes from the far left, who think any concessions are too much. Going to get some no votes from the Freedom Caucus and others on the right. But it seems like, it sounds like, a good majority of Republicans will support Kevin McCarthy in this path. I saw it described somewhere on Twitter this morning as a solid single. It's not a home run. Then again, Republicans control one third of the, you know, don't control the presidency and don't control the Senate. So you're not negotiating with yourself. Although, as Kevin McCarthy points out here, kind of a striking statement. This is a short one. Kevin McCarthy yesterday was asked about the bill and the spending freezes, and you know, it's only on non-discretionary items. There's some spending that could not be touched, essentially, in these negotiations. And there's a freeze, and then, 1% rise in year two, and then some suggested cuts into the future. Kevin McCarthy here, little shot at leadership from prior years in Washington. Here's Kevin McCarthy, cut one.
I understand people get upset about walking through a debt ceiling, but this is a House, a Senate, and a presidency. I think when you read the Wall Street Journal, you read the New York Post, you sit back and listen to a lot of economists, they'll say, this is the strongest debt ceiling we ever had. And if I compare it to when Republicans were in the majority, when they had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they didn't cut anything. They just added more money.
Did not take a follow-up there. Republicans did not cut anything. They just added more money. That's just from a couple of years ago. That's a direct indictment of how some of these discussions went in the past couple of years. People doubted Kevin McCarthy's ability as speaker to hold his caucus together and to get to a point in a debt limit agreement where there were some concessions made by the White House. He got them. He clearly thinks it's enough. Others, like Chip Roy, like Jenny Beth Martin, who's going to join us in hour two, don't think that at all. We'll hear from their voices in just a little bit. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Donna Jackson from Project 21 up next. What environmental justice means for Black America. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Online betting can be fun. It's kind of like whitewater rafting. The rush of excitement, the thrill. Well, until your raft is heading straight for a huge waterfall. For tips that will help keep you afloat, go to don'tregretthebet.org. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and the Michigan Gaming Control Board. Have a gambling problem? Call the Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.